Listening Dog Media.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
The Athletic.
Hello and welcome back to The Offside Rule for our third episode of the 22-23 campaign. I'm Kate Borsay, finally back from my post-Euros holiday. Bonjour, bonjour. And to celebrate my arrival, well, everything's happened this morning. Bit of behind-the-scenes action for you. We've had a mass evacuation, a power cut, a dog with diarrhea. We are well and truly making our return as a trio this season, aren't we? Let's say hello, of course, to the regular lineup here on the show. The full complement for the first time this season, starting with the Sky Sports Queen, or should that be Mook Queen, long-time Man United sufferer, Hayley McQueen. Hello, hello.
Yeah, sufferer is the word, isn't it? My goodness. Hi, everyone. I'm just pleased I don't work on Mondays, because going into work on a Monday after a weekend of seeing Manchester United playing is just not a nice place to be.
No, I was at that match, I'm sorry to say.
Oh, oh dear. Perhaps we'll have time to chew that through a little bit later on. I'm sure we can make time for it, Hayley. Don't you worry. Now, the power cut is to do with Hayley McQueen, so she's broadcasting from a pub this lunchtime. No more. The diarrhea and the dog is to do with Lindsay Hooper. She's in her home office, but there's a poorly dog by her side. Hi, Hoops.
Oh, Billy looks so sorry for himself. I've been up all night with this little dog. Yeah, I think it might be some bad chicken that's the ending item. What happens when the three of us get together, by the way?
Mayhem.
Yeah, mayhem. Hayley and I, while she were in France, being tickety-boo.
You are absolutely fine.
You come along with fires in central London, no trains, and you've had to get on a last minute bus or something.
I'm so proud of myself today. I've arrived, well, kind of on time to the new time we set when we realised that half of London was burning. Everything's fine now, by the way, on that account. I managed to get on a bus. I timed the bus to get to a bus stop at the same time that I'd booked a taxi to get to that was all on the way home. If you need any travel arranging, by the way, I feel like I'm your lady. All right, well, coming up on the show, in honour of the Premier League's much talked about 30th birthday, producer Doogie has created a quiz for us all to wrap up the show. God, I'm so bad at quizzes. Lindsay Hooper's so competitive. Hang on for that, by the way. And with two games under our belt, we discuss things that have caught us by surprise in these first few weeks of the season. But first, with Chelsea's heated and action-packed draw against Spurs still fresh in our minds, we're going to ask who might be the new Premier League's biggest villain. A reminder that you can get in touch with us via at Offside Rule Pod on Twitter. Do check out our brilliant website, offsiderulepodcast.com. And don't forget to subscribe to this very fine podcast indeed. Where else do you get broadcasting from a pub and a dog with the poops? That's right. You can do that via your favourite podcasting app.
Pepperton
is rising and out comes the red card. There's the morning headline. Eric Cantona, for the fifth time in his Manchester United career, Eric Cantona is sent off. Oh, what's going on here? Cantona's getting involved with some supporters. Oh, this is outrageous.
Over its 30-year existence, the Premier League has seen numerous villainous players come and go, from Eric Cantona, Vinnie Jones and Roy Keane, to the likes of Lee Bowyer and Joey Barton. We've seen our fair share, haven't we, of the oft-tagged bad boys come and go. With notorious wind-up merchant Antonio Rudiger departing for Real Madrid this summer, I feel like there's a bit of a vacancy here to be filled. So let's kick off today's episode by discussing which of the current players could take on the role of the Premier League's biggest villain. Hayley McQueen, I'm going to go to you first.
Well, it's a man that's been in trouble for years and years, and he makes headlines, but maybe not as scandalous as some of the other kind of big names that we hear about, or maybe not as big a name as some of the big names which make bigger headlines, but he's got to try and behave. We've got Neil Maupay, who's at Brighton, and we don't want him to start costing Brighton more trouble at the moment when they absolutely need his goals, they need his assists, they need every little bit of help that they can get to make sure that they are up there surviving and actually thriving in the Premier League. He has been their top scorer every season, but he's definitely wound up lots of opposition fans. There was a game a couple of seasons ago and it was involving Birmingham, and he absolutely wound up the fans. He was actually taken off. He then applauded the travelling fans who were kind of giving it to him. Thomas Frank said he took him off to save him being sent off. That's what he had to do. Imagine having to take one of your best players off because you were worried about him being sent off.
He's and a professional player.
I know. And it's not the first time that it's happened. I was actually on a little website looking at some of his kind of past misdemeanors, and some of the comments are quite funny. It was like reading sort of Mum's Net. They were like, oh, not surprised he was hauled off. Hopefully he'll be back off the naughty step very soon. Someone else was like, oh, I heard he was complaining about his wages. He wanted more pay. I'll get my coat. That was because he got dropped against Spurs because of an attitude problem. So this has been going on for quite some time. Yeah, it was this small section of Birmingham fans who had travelled to watch a game that he applauded as he walked off very sarcastically. Bernd Leno went off with a knee injury after quite a bad aerial clash with Maupay. Guendouzi grabbed his throat after the final whistle. There was a big fight between the players. It absolutely kicked off. Afterwards, apparently Guendouzi had said he'd been taunting the Brighton players all game about their wages, hence the Maupay joke. I mean, that was the start of the end for him there. In 2020, back in November then, he was dropped for tactical reasons, they said, in this game against Spurs. That was the other game that I'd mentioned, not just the one against Birmingham. He'd been involved in a heated exchange with a colleague, and there were concerns about his attitude as well. He could potentially join Nottingham Forest, where they'll hopefully have to keep him on a little bit of a leash. He might be going there for £15 million, given how short they are of strikers. They've got the 15th best attack last term. Bit of a big move to sell a striker at the moment. But maybe I think his price is down a little bit more as well. I think people are going to get a bargain because you have to deal with all that comes with a player
attitude
like Neil Maupay as well, and his attitude. But maybe a bit of a move and a kick up the butt will do him the world of good.
Talking about value for money, I wonder if Jurgen Klopp's slightly regretting the £64 million quid he decided to spend on Darwin Nunez, particularly after his headbutt on Monday night. Crystal Palace's Joachim Andersen. He flattened him with his head, didn't he? It was back to 1990s football. I sort of wonder if Graeme Souness had a point, but a bad point about a man's game. Yeah, up pop Nunez, wasn't happy with Andersen at all. And Andersen did a fabulous job at falling back as light as a feather onto the pitch. And I just wonder whether perhaps he might become a bit of an issue at Liverpool. And the thing is, Lindsay, now that defenders know that he's capable of that, he's given good performances up to this point, but now that Nunez is going to be known for a headbutt, they're going to be quick to capitalise on that side of his character, aren't they?
Yeah, you'd think that they know how to wind him up potentially. Although Klopp will be having a word in his ear, won't he, this week?
I'm sure he already
has. Calm down, lad, calm down.
I think he told him to come back the next day and have a good think about what he'd done.
And he did. He's come out on social media, hasn't he, and says, I'm aware of the ugly attitude I had. I'm here to learn from my mistakes and it won't happen again, with like a little, quite a funny little emoji and a prayer hand. He's like, apologies to Liverpool all, with a big wave. I'll be back.
It's going to go two ways, isn't it, Lindsay? Basically, we are going to see it again very, very soon, or it will literally be a very momentary early blip in his Premier League career. And hopefully we'll never see it again.
Or he'll learn how to just be on the edge with it. You know, we've spoken before on this show about the dark arts that Diego Costa had when he was at Chelsea. And he hardly ever went in the book with a red card. He knew how to get the yellows, but he very rarely got sent off. And he often would wind up the opposition. I think if you've got that in your locker, it can be quite a good skill. And we don't see enough of it in the Premier League now, actually, just playing on the edge. It's just knowing where that line is and not ever crossing it again, because you could cost your team valuable points, especially when we think about Liverpool right now having already dropped as many points as you have. I think with City having Haaland now, it's going to go all the way. You can't afford to drop any more. I did think, actually, we've said this before, I know, that there aren't as many villains nowadays. God. You know, when you look and you're thinking of a villain right now, I look back at Roy Keane, Hayley, and that time at Manchester United, I think, well, who right now would I say is a villain at Man United? Probably Scott McTominay. I don't know.
I mean, it's the owners that have become the villains. I mean, the Glazers are the biggest villains, aren't they? Really, it's that kind of thing. But yeah, you don't really see it as you know,
you don't.
You're
scouring around the league trying to think of who it would be. And if you're not saying owners, Hayley, maybe you're saying the managers when you think of Conte and Tuchel.
Yes.
And that handshake, which was the grip of a python.
Wow, I know. We've had villains. Well, we've had the wags, haven't we? We've had owners. We've now got pundits with the big fight with Jamie Redknapp and Gary Neville live on Sky, which was brilliant. I absolutely loved it. And was quite unexpected, but there you go. That is how I think Gary Neville is going to continue the next few weeks. I think every time he's on Sky, I am gripped. I really am. I know he fancies himself as a politician, but he's definitely got himself up there as a villain for sure.
So we're struggling really, aren't we, in the actual playing field world of who to say. I'm going to nominate someone who isn't really at villain status yet, but I think at Spurs, Christian Romero could be a huge pantomime villain of the future. He could be the one. He's got that side to him, and we saw it with the tackle, and we saw it with the hair pull on Cucurella.
How
in
was
the
he
game
not
between
punished
Chelsea
for that
Spurs.
Hair pull, by the way? That's like violent conduct.
And it was right in front of the referee, Kate. I mean, he had a brilliant view of that. So, maybe
and it's
the
only
hair
encourage
pulling
him.
Hair pulling, just, it can be done. It's not going to be pulled back. I felt that, though, Romero on occasions at the end of last season as well, I saw this in his game. He can be super aggressive in the way that he plays. He is what we would call an old school defender, isn't he, ladies? We can say that now because we're part of the old school group. 15 tackles and interceptions already this season, so that's the fifth most in the Premier League. His disciplinary record is okay. So he's been booked 8 times in 24 games in his Premier League career so far. There haven't been any red cards. He might be the master of what I was talking about, which is playing on the edge, not getting sent off, just about on the right side of the law. But I honestly think that he is one to watch for the future in terms of villains. I think he'll rile up some forwards. And now we have these huge number nines in the league who we think could play their part in who wins the title this season. Could Romero be the defender who has a say the other end? That's why I'm wondering.
Okay, well, I've got a contender here for you, and this is Everton's Yerry Mina, another classic wind-up merchant if we're going down the sort of theatrics. Always seems to be in the middle of a scrap or a conflict. He always has been a great entertainer on the pitch, cheeky gestures at international level too. He took a penalty for Colombia versus Uruguay in the quarters of the Copa America last year. And the penalty wasn't even a winning one, by the way. We decided to do the old thumb-in-the-mouth celebration in front of the cameras, little dance he gave us as well. But interestingly, I think Everton's definitely toughened him up. So it's almost added an extra layer of aggression to the jokes and the gimmicks that we know he likes on the pitch. Interestingly, there was a pre-season game between Everton and Arsenal last month in the States. Jesus, the Arsenal striker, former teammate of Mina at Palmeiras, they basically got into a bit of a tussle. And Jesus afterwards was just like, that's not the player I know, accused Mina of basically talking, well, I can only say this politely by saying talking height, but you sort of know what I mean, don't you? That's what he said after the game. And Mina was sort of laying into Jesus's chest. The Arsenal player just saying, I'm not going to entertain that sort of behaviour. So there's definitely something, Yerry Mina, about his game the last season or two that's meant that he could be a contender for our new Premier League villain. Like Romero, though, he's yet to be sent off. No red cards, 12 yellows in 80 league games so far.
Something that Romero did do was laugh in the face of Harry Maguire last season. I know most people are laughing in the face of Harry Maguire lately, aren't they, Hayley? Certainly Brentford were on Saturday. But it was a new thing last season. He started all of that.
Yes, so another bit of endorsement there for Romero. You can let us know what you decide, if you like, at Offside Rule Pod, if you want to weigh in with either your current or prospective villains of the Premier League.
Really nicely dealt with by Brentford, who hit the front with Ivan Toney. Now he looks for Mbeumo, and Mbeumo, it's four! It's brilliant from Brentford. They are demolishing Manchester United. Absolutely demolishing them.
Let's head into topic two now. Two fixtures into the new Premier League campaign, and although we've got the familiar sight of Man City sitting at the top of the Premier League table, there have been quite a few other surprises thrown up. So let's talk about things we didn't expect at the start of this season. Some of these things have rolled over, of course, from last week when you talked about things you'd learned from the first weekend of the Premier League. One of those rollover subjects, could be argued, Hayley, is Manchester United. They continue...
Oh my God.
To, well, we didn't expect it to be quite so bad. Who knew they had two defeats in their locker, Hayley, back to back beginning of the season, eh?
I mean, I'll talk Liverpool in a minute if you like, but yeah, Man United absolutely trumping them with just how bad they've been. And do you remember when I was so excited about pre-season and, oh, they've been great? They absolutely have not been able to put into practice what they did in pre-season. Remember how excited I got about that win over Liverpool as well? Goodness me. We were like, oh, great, he's stuck with Maguire as his captain. That's fine. That'll give him a real boost. That'll give him that confidence boost. It'll improve his performances at the beginning of the season. We're going to see a real leader here. Things are looking better with Cristiano Ronaldo. He's had a little bit of time off. He's had some time away with his family. He'll come back feeling refreshed and think, yes, Man United is the place I want to be. Yeah, neither of those things came off. And also the fact that teams now are able to exploit them and do it so easily. We saw in the performance, didn't we? Well, both of the performances against Brentford and Brighton, they absolutely lacked in confidence. And it was so shocking to hear a player in a post-match interview talk about, you know, a game plan that they had absolutely working against Man United and coming out with it saying, you know, we looked at what Brighton did well against them and we did exactly the same. We pressed them, got in their faces. We knew they lacked that confidence. They knew where they could exploit them and they managed to do it. It's just really embarrassing, the manner of those two defeats and the fact that, you know, they've become a bit of a laughing stock now. I do feel sorry for some of the players. I mean, not too sorry. Elon Musk has been having a joke at United expense as well, hasn't he? Saying, you know, people are asking him about what he's going to buy next after his bid for Twitter fell through. He said, well, I'm just going to go and buy Manchester United. And everyone, well, yeah, come on, Elon, buy our club, buy our club. He's like, no, I'm definitely not going to be investing in a sports club.
What a joke to make.
I know.
No, but he went and rose the share prices by 4.9% by 5 a.m. So literally in a matter of hours, Elon Musk with that joke there, which I think just basically injured the Manchester United fans a little bit more.
I should weigh in here, actually, Kate, because my example is also Manchester United related.
Oh, go on. Yes, come on then.
Things we didn't expect at the start of the season. I didn't expect in match one for Christian Eriksen to play as a striker. And I didn't expect in match two for Christian Eriksen to play as a very deep holding midfielder, which obviously caused the second goal as well, because they'd worked that out that De Gea was trying to pass to his feet. So I didn't expect either of those things. What I did expect was to see Christian Eriksen play in his role as an attacking midfielder.
Things I didn't expect in these first two games of the season. Southampton's defence to continue to be so bad. They had the fourth worst defence in the Premier League last season. Are there no lessons to be learned? Come on. There was a 2-2 draw against Leeds at the weekend. They were all over the place again. After two games, they've now conceded 6 goals. So come on, I did not expect you to continue to be so bad, Southampton defence. And in fact, another quick one for you. I don't think I expected Dean Henderson to be quite so key to Forest's survival. I think he's really making his mark here, him of the baseball cap, of course. A couple of crucial saves again at the weekend in Forest's win over West Ham. That was a bit of a surprise, I think, as well. He also had a couple of decent saves against Newcastle the previous week too. Yeah, I think Forest and Dean Henderson, he's going to be absolutely crucial to their survival. And perhaps I hadn't realised quite how much before these last two games.
I didn't expect Liverpool to draw opening two games, dropping that amount of points. I also didn't expect, yes, they dropped points. It was a little bit of a positive. What a shining light Fabio Carvalho could be. They signed him from Fulham. Yes, he came on only as a sub, but it was against Fulham. And I think in Thiago's absence, he's going to look really good as well. Good bit of business. He's very small, but he seems to be a bit of a pocket rocket. So I think there'll be this season, because teams have failed to secure signings that they might have been out for. I think they're going to see this with Manchester United. We might see a few of these younger players that have been bought given a chance and not just sent out on loan. So I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't expecting the heat waves in football and drinks breaks either. So,
Yeah, I think picking up on Carvalho, you know, he could be a real secret weapon for Jurgen Klopp as well. He's only 19, but with the midfield at Liverpool looking, well, just looking like they're lacking any spark whatsoever, I thoroughly endorse going down the same lines as Klopp has done.
Harvey Elliott as well.
With Harvey Elliott, yeah, exactly, exactly. And trusting in the youth when you've run out of all other options. What else was unexpected for you, Lindsay?
I've had a couple of unexpected moments as a Wolves supporter, not just this season. I had one in the Championship, but it's linked to my unexpected moment this season. So when Wolves were in the Championship, I never expected to bring in Ruben Neves. Because if you looked at where we were as a club in the Championship, Ruben Neves had played in the Champions League. And it was a player that was much higher in rank and station than what we were at the time. And it really blew us all away as fans. And now, ladies, oh, we've got it again. Mateus Nunes is joining us. This is going to be officially announced, I think, in the next 24 hours. Apparently €45 million plus €5 million add-ons joining us from Sporting. If you've not seen the last goal that Nunes scored for Sporting, look it up. It's lovely. It's a beauty. And he's coming to join us, Wolverhampton Wanderers. This is a Champions League player joining us, something that I didn't expect to see. The transfer window wasn't going so well, but up they produce Nunes. Honestly, Chelsea fans are saying that he should be playing for them. You know, United fans, you wouldn't even get a glimpse at the minute, Hayley. But no, with our link to Mendes, he's come good. We've got Nunes, and I'm feeling for the first time this season a little happier.
Yeah, maybe you should wait till he gets on the pitch before your gloaty McGlade face. But you know, something to be excited by and that you didn't expect. Absolutely fair enough. All right, we'll round it up just there. Quick plug, by the way, for the Athletic Women's Football Podcast on the back of the brilliant success of the Athletic Women's Football Podcast Euro edition this summer. The back catalogue's all up on your favourite podcast platform, by the way. We've got the regular season begins on the 10th of September and the podcast will be back for then. Let's head into topic three. Very exciting because producer Doogie gets to play quiz show master. I mean, perhaps he's rehearsing for Jeremy Paxman, who's stepping down from the University Challenge. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
Perhaps this is his audition reel. Let's hope he's not as cutting as Paxman normally is, though.
Or as hard as a university challenge. We don't.
Yes, exactly. Otherwise, this is going to take an awfully long time. Well, there's going to be a lot of passes that go on. Mm-hmm. So the Premier League, as we've mentioned, turned 30 last weekend. So to celebrate, well, this is Doogie's way of celebrating, basically. We've got a quiz, ladies, and it's all about how much we remember about the last 30 years of our beloved top flight. Here's Doogie to explain the rules.
Okay, guys, the rules are quite simple. It's just 10 questions and you'll each get a chance to answer each one. But the first person to answer correctly takes the point for that question. So everyone got the rules? Everyone ready?
Yeah. So it's basically fastest buzzer first.
Exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly.
And how do we each have a buzzer noise, Doogie?
That would maybe be a good idea. Okay, Kate, what's your buzzer noise going to be?
Honk.
Okay, we've got a honk. Lindsay, what's yours?
I was trying to think of something Wolves related.
A little bark.
A woof.
Oh, what about? Oh, 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 oh.
Nice. Billy-esque. Hayley, what are you going for?
I'll go meow. I'll be a cat.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Nice one. Okay, so I need to hear that before answering, because if you answer at the same time, it's going to be absolute chaos. So need to make the noise before the answer.
Yeah,
question one. Which manager has taken charge of the most Premier League matches?
Oh, honk.
Yeah, who was that? That was Kate, I believe.
No, I got in way earlier.
Sorry.
I did.
It was Lindsay, by
sorry,
the way.
It was me.
There's a lot of animal noises going on. Okay, Lindsay. Lindsay was the dog. Lindsay.
Arsene Wenger.
Correct. Well done.
I did know that.
Nice one. Okay, 1 point to Lindsay. On to question two. Gareth Barry has made the most Premier League appearances with 653. But who is second on the list with 632?
Oh.
That's the dog again of Lindsay.
James Milner.
Incorrect.
Oh.
It goes to the floor. Kate and Hayley, you've got a chance to answer.
Oh, my goodness me.
Appearances in the Premier League.
Premier League.
I've got some other big hitters, but I can't speak.
Jamie Carragher's up there, but I don't think he's after him.
I'm going to speed you along, guys.
Long enough.
Frank Lampard.
Frank Lampard, incorrect.
Not long enough.
Kate.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of someone who's played a long time across... I have no idea. Go on.
It's Ryan Giggs. No points for anyone there. Okay. Moving on to question three. The scores are Lindsay's 1-0 up. No one else has got
any. What's Ryan Giggs
so
up to these days? I wonder what he's
is he going to be in any other business?
No.
Which Premier League club... Let's move swiftly on. Which Premier League club has seen its players win the most golden boots? So while they are playing for this side, which team has been represented the most by golden boot winners?
Oh.
Yeah, that was Lindsay just.
I'm going to guess.
By the way.
No, I got in just. It was very, very slim. I'm going to say Liverpool.
Correct. Well done. 2-0 to good. Lindsay. Okay, good stuff. Right, Kate and Hayley, still plenty of time to get back into it. Question four. Man United have won the most points in Premier League history, but who is second on that list?
Honk.
Oh. Yeah, Kate.
Manchester City.
No.
Oh.
Yep, Lindsay.
Chelsea.
No. Hayley.
Meow.
Yep.
Arsenal.
Correct. Well
done. Oh, that was a wild guess.
Top work.
Okay.
So we're moving on to question five. Name the Premier League player to have played for the most top flight clubs. It is a bit tricky, this one, but I thought I'd test you guys. Yep, Lindsay.
Vieira.
No.
Can you define top flight clubs? Do you mean in other...
In the Premier League, sorry.
Okay, fine. So in the Premier League.
Correct.
Meow.
Yep.
David James has played for a wealth of top flight clubs.
But he's not the correct answer on this occasion.
Oh.
Yeah. No, you can't answer again, Lindsay. It's got to be Kate.
Oh. I don't know. Lindsay, go on.
Fine, Lindsay, you can have another guess then.
Is it a goalkeeper, Doogie?
It's not, no.
I can't even cheat. My laptop's not. Doesn't work. Right, I don't have.
Can't say Gareth Barry either, because that wasn't all Premier League.
James Milner. Have I already said him?
No, because he's not played at enough clubs.
Yeah, it's not Milner. Do you want to know the answer?
Who is it? Yeah.
It is Marcus Bent. Played for eight different Premier League clubs.
Right. Okay.
No.
It was always going to be a tough one. Okay.
Never got that.
We're moving on to question six. So there's five questions remaining. Lindsay is 2-1 up against Hayley. Kate needs to get off the mark. Could be this one. Question six. Chelsea hold the record for fewest Premier League goals conceded in a single season. But how many was it?
16?
No.
Hayley, you didn't do your noise.
Yeah, you got to do your noise, guys.
Oh, sorry. Meow. I've lost.
Yeah, you're still out, but it was good meow. Yeah, Lindsay?
19.
No. Kate, you get a shot?
Punk. What? 12.
Oh, no. I'm actually going to give the point to Hayley because she was the closest. Oh. It was 15.
Oh.
Okay, moving on to question 7.
Yes.
Only 3 players that haven't played for Man United have won 5 Premier League titles. Name them, and you get 1 point for each.
What?
Oh my God, this is a really confusing
say that again. Question.
Go so, on. Basically, Man United have won the most Premier League titles, and their players, you know, dominate the list of most Premier League titles. But taking out all Man United players or anyone that's played for Man United, who has won the most Premier League titles? And there's 3 players that have won 5.
Honk.
Yep, Kate.
Milner.
Nope.
Oh, no, because that's not enough, is it? Kante is not won enough either, is he? 5 outside of Man United. Michael Owen.
Nope. Do you need to hear your noise as well, Lindsay? But no.
Have I completely forgotten?
Alan Shearer, Gallus?
No, hang on. I did a honk.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. Kate, okay, yeah.
Gallus?
Nope.
Meow.
Yeah.
Meow. Alan, that's just my cat. That's not me. Alan Shearer.
No.
No.
The only one it wants.
Yes, Lindsay.
Okay. Kolo Touré.
Nope.
What?
I'll give you a clue. He's one of them is a Chelsea legend and the other 2 played for Man City.
Oh, I've just understood the question now. Sorry, I get it.
Right, I'll give you all another guess.
Right. Okay.
Yep, Lindsay.
Frank Lampard.
No.
No.
Along the right lines.
Honk. Can't be John Terry.
It is John Terry.
Oh.
Kate, you've got one.
Well, there must be more Chelsea
So the other 2 played for Man City.
Well, Man City have won enough titles. We just need to go back long enough. Vincent Kompany?
No.
Aguero.
Hayley, you get 1 point.
Obvious. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
And there's one more remaining. Sorry, who did
David Silva.
No. He left in the summer.
Oh, Fernandinho.
Fernandinho. 1 point to Lindsay. Good work.
Oh, well done. Well done.
Okay,
well
nice.
Done.
Scores on the doors. We've got a tie at the top between Lindsay and Hayley on 3 each. Kate is on 1. Question 8. Name the side that has drawn the most games in Premier League history.
Honk.
Yeah, Lindsay was there first.
So I think because it's Premier League history, you've got to go for a team that's been in the Premier League a long time. I am going to go Spurs.
Good guess, but no.
I was going to go West Ham.
No.
Newcastle United?
No. I'll give you all 1 more guess.
Okay.
Yep, Lindsay.
Oh, sorry, we're forgetting the noises, aren't we?
I think Man United.
No. Kate.
Oh,
yep,
oh Kate. No. Oh, that's Lindsay's. Honk.
Kate.
I am going to go for... Sorry, I'm having a real brain freeze now.
I know who
Everton.
It is now.
Everton.
Everton is correct.
Everton, that's what...
Of course.
I just thought it's got to be Everton, ever present, but always a bit below par.
Exactly.
Yeah, because my guess of Newcastle was stupid because they haven't been in the Premier League consistently all that time. Yeah. What an idiot.
Well,
I did West Ham.
Don't beat yourself up too much. Number 2 on the list, interestingly, is Aston Villa.
Okay.
Question 9, there's 2 remaining. Name the goalkeeper that has played for Man United, Birmingham, West Brom and Watford in the Premier League and has made the most saves in the competition's history.
Yeah. It was me, Lindsay, easily me. Ben Foster.
Correct.
Yes.
Well done.
Most saves in Premier League history, Ben Foster. I thought that was interesting. Okay, final question and the scores on the doors are Kate's on 2, Lindsay's on 4, Hayley's on 3. Okay.
Could level it up here or...
Could do. Right, final question. Which manager has taken charge of the most Premier League clubs with 8?
Oh!
Didn't you just do that one at the start?
No, that was the most Premier League games. This is most Premier League clubs. Lindsay.
Sam Allardyce.
Sam Allardyce is correct. Lindsay seals the win. Well done.
Yay!
Well done, Hoops.
Well done, Linz. You are excellent at this kind of thing.
Well done to all competitors. A great contest.
Yes,
to be honest,
well,
it's kind of for our own well-being, Hayley, that Lindsay won. Because the effects of her not winning will be felt for weeks.
Yes.
So well done for allowing her to win. I give myself the same credit.
In the meantime, well done, as I've been howling as my noise of choice, the dog does not know what's going on.
That's not what Billy needs right now as well.
No, he's trying to rest and recuperate from a upset belly.
Oh, well, there you go. Lindsay Hooper, the youngest of us, winning that 30-year Premier League quiz there. Let's head on to some any other business then. We'll keep this brief, ladies. Let's start with, what about Cristiano Ronaldo? To have Doogie play the Celine Dion version of that. So we've gone for something a bit more less upbeat. Anyway, look, I know you've sort of touched on this, but the Times reporting that United are prepared to let Ronaldo go. There are reports, aren't there, that he's cutting an increasingly isolated character at the club. He's even sitting on his own at the canteen, which if anyone had a slightly awful experience at secondary school will know that that's not a good thing.
Kate. Our joint up thinking is unreal. So you've gone for Ronaldo for your any other business. Mm. My any other business is, I suppose, related to villains of the Premier League, but looking at social media accounts and looking at Brentford, who cut on TikTok a montage of all of Ronaldo's attempts on goal in the 4-0 victory they had at the new G-Tech Community Stadium. They're basically taunting Ronaldo with his lack of efforts, tame efforts. I think that's a dangerous game.
A player when he's down.
Yeah, I know. I also think for Brentford, I was delighted for them for the win. I think Thomas Frank is an amazing manager to speak to. Love hearing from him. But the social media account, you know what? When you're Brentford, if something happens later down in this season and you've put that little reel together and something happens to you,
egg on your face. Saying,
yeah.
Yeah. Ronaldo, by the way, latest reports this morning say he's declared that the truth about his Manchester United exit saga will come out in a couple of weeks, pledging to give a tell-all interview. So he's not gone anywhere yet, we should point out. But whether that's set to happen or not, we're still a little bit in the dark. Yes, according to the Times. But we shall see. Who's next?
I've just got, it's a lovely any other business story, because we know Wrexham have been in the headlines because they've got, Hollywood stars backing them. And I can never say his name. Rob McAnally. That's him. Well, he has now, because he's so famous, I know his name. He has donated £10,000 to a little girl who is battling a rare brain tumour. She's a massive Wrexham fan, as are all her family. And yeah, him and Ryan Reynolds had heard about this family who, with the help of a lot of fans, were trying to raise £60,000, and they're now closing in on this goal to try and help this little girl, which is lovely. We love these kinds of stories. So well done on them for not just investing in the club, but the community and its fans as well. And here's wishing her well as well with her treatment.
Before we go, let's take a straw poll on Graham Souness and a return to the men's game. I'm not sure how much you can say about this, being that it's a Sky Sports in-house thing, Hayley, but he came in for quite a bit of criticism. There's a great column, by the way, from Laura Lawrence, who writes for us at The Offside Rule. And basically, she says, whether you think it's misogynistic or not, it sets the tone for what he's alluding to needs to be a macho environment for male footballers. She argues that male players don't need to be aggressive to be competitive. What did you make of it, Hayley or Lindsay?
I think it was unnecessary use of a man's game. I think that was the phrasing that I didn't agree with, because the game is for everyone. I think I understood what he was trying to get at, which is that there were tastier tackles, the referee was letting a lot more go, the game was flowing better. And if that's what was meant by it, I understand what he was trying to get at. I just don't think he articulated it in the best way.
Yeah, he didn't need to say it like that. He's come out since and annoyingly said he doesn't regret what he says. I wish he would have just said, I'm sorry if that did offend people, because it did, rather than saying, I don't regret it, blah, blah, blah. He hasn't apologised, but he said, I was trying to say we've got our game back. Well, why didn't he just say at the time, we've got our game back, or explain what he meant about that? And he was sat, of course, next to Karen Carney, who just sat there very gracefully, but knowing inside all that she's won, of course, and she's been a great addition to the Sky Sports team. And he sat there next to a woman after everything that women have achieved in the game this summer and what they've done for everything. It must be a bit scary as well, sitting next to somebody as, I'm scared of Graham Souness, and I've known him for a really long time. I'd have loved to have
turned around and said, hold on, what do you mean by that? But you're not going to sit there and start to cause a fight with Graham Souness, are you? Luckily, Dave Jones did step in.
Yeah, he did. He did chip in, didn't he?
Yeah, because I was like, well, you can't just let this go. So at least as a presenter, he did that. But I thought it was a real shame that while sat next to Karen Carney, that these comments had come out. Regardless of who was sat next to, it doesn't really matter. He could have been on his own in a room. He still shouldn't have said it in the way that he said it. And I get what he was trying to say, but it's the language and the fact that he said man's game, it's inexcusable. Football isn't a man's game. It just isn't.
Yeah, and that kind of men at it blow for blow, that sort of quite kind of basic combative language used as well. All right, well, let's wrap it up there. Maybe he'll hold his tongue next time, our Graham. Thank you so much if you've been listening.
Here's our Graham with a creepy mind.
Our Graham with an inappropriate phrase. We love getting your feedback on the show as well. Maybe you'd like to send us a quick reminder of what you're liking, what you are not liking. You can do that via @OffsideRulePod on Twitter and on Instagram. Until then, ladies, are you reunited again on Thursday at the Sky Studios?
Yes,
we are. We are talking all things WSL. And you've been to, obviously, I think you mentioned it earlier, didn't you? You'd been to Aston Villa's media or open media day, wasn't it, Lynns?
Yeah. So that's all started now for the new women's season, where they do the access days. They do them in the Premier League as well, where they all go and get their new photos taken and the bits where they walk up when you see the lineups and they turn. We do all of that. We do some sit down interviews. So yeah, that all started this week, so we can have a chat about that. So yeah, that means we'll be in touch, won't we, later?
We'll have to discuss
what we want to chat about.
Very lovely to see you sitting in a studio together. It really is. Long may that continue. Well, thank you so much if you've been listening. Don't forget to tell your friends about us. We'll be back next week, of course. Until then, bye for now.
You've been listening to The Offside Rule, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Keep up to date with everything offside at offsiderulepodcast.com and by following @OffsideRulePod on Twitter and Insta. Check out all of The Athletic's football podcasts on Apple, Spotify and all the usual places, or listen ad-free on The Athletic app.
The Athletic.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.